11 o'clock hour, Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Derek Mason with you. Willie going to join us from Prague, Czech Republic here in just a little bit, but we say hello to our man, Teron Davenport. Usually joins us on Mondays at 11, but with a different schedule yesterday, we moved him to today. Teron, presented by Crane Works and Rental Works, your source for crane and equipment rental. Visit craneworks.com. So I got to give props to my man, TD. As we bring him on, because I've always thought that Teron asked a lot of thought-provoking questions, but lately I feel like you've been standing in the ring with Mike Vrabel, you know, asking some of the tough questions that maybe he doesn't always want to answer, but you hung with him after the game asking about the second half, so I got to give you props on that. You're doing your job, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, it's something that has to be talked about when you have a team getting outscored 64-7 in the second half and, you know, almost salting away 24-point leads in back-to-back games.
What's interesting, and I think you know this, you've covered him for a long time now, that when he gets salty like that, he's basically telling you, Teron, I know you're right. I'm not going to use those words, but you're right, and it pisses me off that – we're not doing a better job. That's kind of the takeaway that I've had from that. Even yesterday when he had calmed down a little bit, like, he knows it's a problem. The question is, how do you fix it?
Yeah, I think that's really the thing. And it almost feels like that's a planned response, you know, to the question. And it's just a matter of whoever asked the question, you're the one that's subjecting yourself to that response. But make no mistake about it, it's something they know they need to fix. And it's just when you're not sustaining drives, and that's something that Todd Downing talked about last Thursday, it rolls over. And that's when you're seeing the Colts, like you saw it last week. I mean, you had three and outs, you know, four drives, and then they came back offensively, and there was just a lot of momentum. And it goes back to what I've said before, a lot of the analytics folks who – you know, can't put an algorithm or formula on momentum. They like to say that it's not real. But if you are actually involved in the football game, you will see that momentum is real, and you can feel momentum, you know, when you're playing a game, and even, you know, to an extent when you're attending one and watching it closely.
So I believe, real quick, Derek, believe that the first half may have been, I will say it was, in my opinion, Todd Downing's best half as the offensive coordinator of the Tennessee Titans. Just top to bottom, I thought he called a really nice half. So my question to you is, how do you take that and translate that into the second half and continue that momentum like you were just talking about?
I think that's the million-dollar question. How do they do that? And obviously a part of it is execution, but I think it's also continuing to set up. And you have to find ways to counter adjustments that teams are doing. And I think that may be an area where they're struggling a bit. And, you know, there's a lot of things that you see other teams do. You take the Falcons the other day. You know, Arthur Smith, Coach Art, is so much known for running the outside zone. So what he did was had a play where it faked outside zone and ran, gave the ball underneath to the other running back, and you pulled the center, having him go the opposite direction. Those are the type of things you have to do when you see that teams are you know, getting to your tendencies and adjusting to that. And that's something I think, you know, Todd Downing has done some things with that, but they have to do it more consistently. And it's just one of those areas where there's some improvement that's needed.
We'll talk with Teron Davenport, ESPN's Nation reporter covering the Tennessee Titans. Now, Teron, do you believe this is a foreshadowing of what's to come in regards to Chig, because he was involved this week, and rightfully so, he should have. And to me, I just think moving forward, they need to sort of, you know, spoon feed him more and more, because again, like I brought up with Dontrell Hilliard, he's one of those guys that is a legitimate matchup problem for defenses.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was really pleased to see his red zone touchdown, because that was something that I was saying. When you look at them in training camp, OTAs, mini camp, you know, and then training camp, that he was pretty heavily involved in their red zone package. So it was good to see that. And it's funny, you know, that's one of the things I love about being in the locker room, where you could go and you could talk to these guys, and I went up to him, and you know, we just talked, and he said that he was starting to feel more comfortable. He was starting to get a better understanding of everything, which was allowing him to play fast and just go out there and play ball like he knows how to play. And lo and behold, the couple of days after, he tells me that he has his best game as a pro. So he is a matchup situation for opposing teams that they have to take advantage of, and I hope they do continue.
Yeah, you're right, because to me, he gives you what you had last year and the year before with Janu, is a guy that can stretch the field from the tight end position, but also he can run those crossing routes, and you could do him on, you could do with him what you did with Delaney and Janu as far as, you know, game planning for him. So I think moving forward, this guy needs to be more of a point of emphasis in what they do. Now, again, this second half, no one can figure it out. And I think I'm almost to a point where I'm thinking, because of the roster, they only can do so much. And then they get in the second half, and it's not like they got all these new plays or inventing these new plays. They're just running basically the same thing in the first half, I mean, the second half, that they're running in the first half. And maybe, just maybe, they're running it in different formations, or they need to run it in different formations, because right now what's going on, it's not working. They're not staying ahead of the chains, and they're finding themselves in three and outs a bunch of times.
Yeah, and that's what most of the advanced play callers are able to do, give you the same play out of a bunch of different looks. You watch the Rams. I mean, they do that all the time. So even Coach Smith, Arthur Smith does that. So that's something that they have to do. And you're right, man, the three and out, not sustaining drives, and it's got to stop. And that's something that Todd Downing has said. He pointed to that when I asked him about layering plays and setting things up. And he was saying how, you know, when they have drives that not actually being sustained, it's harder to do that. Last week was a good example, because we're talking about five possessions, four punts. You cannot have that and expect to be successful.
We're talking to Teron Davenport, Titans NFL Nation reporter. Usually joins us on Mondays, but here today at 11. So, Washington, as you start looking at things with the Commanders, I mean, you know, you can have the thought process, this isn't a very good team, but you're going up against Carson Wentz, who you saw last year. What adjustments do you think the Titans need to make to come out of there with a win before the bye?
Well, it's going to be interesting, because from what I understand, Chase Young is going to be back, so they're going to have to find a way to sustain some type of pass protection. That's critical. But then also, I think, you know, when you look at that front, regardless, that defensive front, I mean, you're talking about, what, four first-round picks. So it's really going to be about controlling the line of scrimmage, and it's something that they did a solid job last week. Offensively, I'm just curious, because Jahan Dotson apparently is going to be shut down for the next couple weeks, so they catch a break there. But Antonio Gibson is still a solid player, a lot of speed. If he could get to the, you know, to the alley, he can make some things happen. But I really, just adjustments, that's still something I'm in the process of trying to figure out, you know, how they need to attack. One thing that they have to do is find ways to get the football out quickly and beat matchups on the perimeter, because there's going to be, you know, continue to be a focus on stopping Derrick Henry.
How concerned are you about Treylon Burks? We saw the play where he was hobbling, and I know Vrabel went into more detail of why he didn't call the timeout or get him off the field, but the reports are it could be turf toe. He's going to miss some time. Obviously, a big blow to the Titans' offense.
Yeah, I mean, they're saying turf toe. It's tough. He was in a walking boot and on crutches leaving the stadium on Sunday. Not having him is gonna definitely hurt them, but maybe that'll coincide with Kyle Phillips becoming more available. He only played 10 snaps in this past game, or 10 to 11, something like that. So maybe that could kind of offset it, to where they have Robert Woods back on the outside and Phillips in the slot, and you know, they could get back to what they did the first half against the Giants.
How close do you think Racy McMath is?
Yeah, good question. Coach Vrabel was asked about that, but he said that, you know, that's not something he sees as far as the window, the practice window being open for him this week. So I don't know. I mean, we haven't even seen him in the locker room or anything, so I'm not sure. I know, like, with Monty Rice, we saw him a lot more, and even at the game on Sunday, you know, he was out there walking around the field and stuff. So his window is set to be open tomorrow, apparently, so that's what it is with him. But, yeah, I mean, the timing would be really good to be able to get him back and just try to get him involved, you know, at least get some deep throws to him so that way you can show that, hey, you're willing to stretch the field.
TD, Willie's not here, you know, to share the sorrow with you, but
I'm hanging up.
We appreciate it as always. We'll do it again next week.
All right.
Go Braves.
Go Braves. Terod Davenport, noted Mets fan, but always a good sport about it. Joining us usually every Monday at 11. And again, Teron is presented by Crane Works and Rental Works here on 102.5, 106.3. The Game does a great job covering the Tennessee Titans. Coming up next, we'll get into what happened yesterday in Bern, Switzerland, because it was such a cool atmosphere. The Predators play SC Bern, get the win. We'll discuss that coming up next at the bottom of the hour. Three things Derek likes about this Titans team, three things he wants to see improve. We'll do that coming up, but first, my drink of choice, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. I've been telling you about it for a long time now. It's the official drink of the suit, and I prefer it as a shot, but you can have it on the rocks. You can have it neat. You can have it as an espresso martini, a peanut butter old-fashioned. However you like it, just go to screwballwhiskey.com for more recipes and for more information about the world's most awarded peanut butter whiskey. It's made with real peanuts, real peanut butter, and real whiskey. That's what gives it its natural flavor and its great taste, and it makes it go down oh so smooth. That's why I like it so much. So when you're out and about with all of your friends and maybe somebody wants to take a shot, maybe you're just looking for a drink, ask for it by name. Say, I want a Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, just like me, just like the suit. But also do like me, enjoy it responsibly. Copyright 2022 Screwball Spirits LLC, San Diego, California. Whiskey with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume.